All right. We are here to talk about stewardship and finances, and this is not going to be a shakedown or anything like that for the church. Don't roll your eyes. But seriously, I've kind of been wanting to do this for a long time. And I've been working on this message a little bit for a long time. I'll share a little bit more about that in a moment. The issue of what the Bible has to say about money has been a major part of my life. The Bible is not a story of money. That is absolutely true. In fact, the Bible is a story of God creating a universe with people made in his image, which reveal his glory. It's a big story. It involves everything that we know and love. It involves a savior. It involves an enemy. It involves a world, a story. But the story includes a group of people who follow their savior in order to reflect his glory. And that is where things get interesting. These people, us Christians, people of faith in Jesus, these people live by faith in our King, and our King shapes us. Our King changes us. Our King is revealing his glory. We are not building his kingdom. His kingdom's here. We're seeing more and more of his kingdom. If we think we're building it, we're thinking too highly of ourselves. If we think we're revealing it, then we're really thinking highly of ourselves and we're right. But it's his kingdom. But he uses things along the way to reveal his kingdom and to shape us as his kingdom dwellers, his people. The question becomes, how does the Lord shape us? How does the Lord grow us? How does the Lord deal with us? And of course, the chief way is what we're doing here at church, the means of grace. What we just experienced of preaching and hearing God's word and praying and confessing sin, that is God's grace. He changes us. And he also uses various ways in his created world which affect us, unique ways in which we learn to trust him as our King. Can you think of some of those ways? Well, he made us where we must have oxygen. Why did the Lord do that? Seriously, he could have made us any way he wanted to, but we're dependent. You take our oxygen away and you take everything away, right? It's not going to go well for long. We have to have food and water or we don't survive. Why is that? It's the way God made us. We have to have sunshine, and the list keeps going on and on. And I want to suggest that money is part of that. We cannot exist without it, and God could have created a world differently than he did. So there's something significant about money. You've probably heard this before, but the Bible uses money and wealth and that sort of thing more than any other subject to reflect his glory, what he's doing. Even if you think in our lifespan of communism versus capitalism, communism has never worked. It's always a disaster. Maybe it kind of sounds good on paper that we could just live without money, but it doesn't work. Capitalism, strangely, always works. However, there's a Covenant College study that says wherever capitalism goes, poverty always goes down. You know what else goes down wherever capitalism goes? People's personal happiness. And it's like, wait, what? That wasn't supposed to work. So there's something complicated about money no matter what. It's both part of the created world and it's part of the fallen world. So there's something going on with that. There's a passage, Luke chapter 16, verse 11. Let me read this to you. It says, "If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of worldly wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you?" If you haven't been faithful with worldly wealth, who will entrust true riches? Well, what are the true riches? Of course, that is our relationship with the Lord and this kingdom which he is bringing to this earth. There's a mystery here, and I sure don't have all the answers, but there's certainly a connection between our spiritual lives and our financial life. There's a connection in some way. The Lord uses that. So as our pastor, I feel a great conviction that we need to talk about this subject. Normally, this is the forbidden topic in church. All things related to money. Because, as Van Offered will roll his eyes, preachers are always asking for money or something like that, and he's not wrong. So we usually just don't talk about it at all. But I do want to give a couple things here. Everything I know about money, for the most part, from a Christian standpoint, I learned through a ministry called Crown Financial Training. Is anybody familiar with Crown Financial Training? It is now called Compass Financial Training. So what I've learned has really come from that. If you are interested in being part of a Compass group, we can start one at TCPC anytime. Billy Lanter, David Cowan, and I used to teach this at Tate's Creek. And again, I'll start it again. Tommy Ogden just went through one of these trainings with his work. But there are two books. They use a book. And I brought both of mine with me. So this is the old Crown Ministry. Has anybody ever seen a book like this or gone through one of these? You know what I'm talking about? All right. And this is the more recent one. But this is why it's personal to me. So I did this. Lisa and I did this in 2002. And I wrote, I'm being more vulnerable than I should be, but I wrote right here, God, please give me your best in terms of finances. I am a failure, and I have no idea what I'm doing. I wasn't joking. So when we started the class, I wrote that in the book. That was 2002. 2014, I thought, well, I'd give a little update since I'm taking the class again. February 7th, 2014. Lord, you've been so kind. And I wrote a few other personal goals there that you don't need to know. But I just remember thinking, the Lord has blessed and answered this prayer. Not that I know everything as much as I started out not knowing anything. It's been recorded, so I'll be careful. My dad is deceased. My dad taught me so many great things. He loved the mountains, hiking, Tennessee sports, all the great things of life. He didn't teach me many good things when it came to money. That just wasn't his strength. Laughing, but that just wasn't what my dad was good at doing. So really, it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I first started to grow under somewhat of the understanding that the Bible and the Lord, that there's a connection here to faith and scripture and how this works. So how Compass Financial Ministry outlines all things is a two-part deal, and I'm going to do a two-part deal following what I've learned from them. The first would be God's part of finances. Second would be our part of finances. So this week, I'm calling this our comfort when it comes to finances. Not that we live a comfortable life, but the confidence that we have because of what God does. Next week, we'll look at our calling of finances, and that will get into giving, saving, spending, that sort of thing. But today, I want us to look at some big picture type stuff when we think about the comfort that we have because this all is about the Lord. All right, three parts here. If you're a note taker, three different things. Let's be comforted by God's part of God's finances, of our finances, rather. All right, number one, when it comes to our money, you've probably heard this a million times, and that's why it needs to be said over and over and over. God owns everything. Start with that. That is the fundamental issue of the entire kingdom of God. Of our salvation and of our finances, he is the rightful owner. All right, let me read a couple of verses. This is Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong the heaven and the heaven of heavens and the earth with all that is in it. All that is in the earth belongs to the Lord. Psalm 24:1. And I can keep going with verses like this, but there's two. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has established it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. The earth is the Lord's. So what does the Lord own? The Lord owns every single thing that exists on this earth. If that is true, then what do we own? What do we own? Now, are you tracking where this is going? This is where it's going to get personal really fast. If God owns it all, you and I don't own anything. And that'll be the message really for next week, if we are the stewards of that which he owns. But first, we have to be honest about this. We don't own. We manage. God is the owner. Now, I want to argue this is both very humbling, and it also takes a lot of pressure off. It really does. Point is, Jesus has never transferred anything he owns to us. He has maintained ownership forever. So therefore, we manage that which he owns, but he is the owner. Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 33 of Luke 14. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." These are hard words. They were hard then, they're hard now. But it's always an issue of whom do we love? "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, and whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, why the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace." And here's the key verse. "So therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." You see how hard that is? This is a big deal, particularly in our culture where we have so much. We are called to renounce everything to follow Jesus. So the question for you this morning, question for me this morning, is what has not been renounced to Jesus in your heart and in your mind? That is, what do you own that you actually don't own? What do you own that you still prefer to own and not let Jesus have his rightful ownership? Again, next week we'll get into stewardship and what this looks like. But just think about it for today. Who owns your retirement? Who owns our cars? Who owns our homes, our future, our business, our vacation homes? If God owns everything, can you accept your job is to take care of that which he owns? If God owns everything, can you accept your job is to take your name off the ownership title of what is already his? He owns it. Again, I think this is humbling, but it takes the pressure off. This is not our church. This is the Lord's church. It's not my car. It's the Lord's car. Our pronouns reflect our heart. It really is a fascinating thing, but it's also humbling. The Compass Financial class emphasizes in this quote, "When we acknowledge God's ownership, every spending decision becomes a spiritual decision. No longer do we ask, 'Lord, what do you want me to do with my money?' But what do you want me to do with your money?" This truly does create contentment if we will believe it. It really does. It starts here. God's ownership of our resources. I thought about this as I was preparing the lesson. You know, the dominant theological principle, the issue that we hold to the most dearly here at TCPC, if you had to pick just one, it's justification by faith, that Jesus did it all. That is our, we will stand on that one. When it comes to money, Jesus is the owner. That is the dominant starting point. He owns it all. This is an easy doctrine to accept. This is a hard doctrine to implement into our lives. We aren't giving tithes of our tithes and our offerings. No, we are giving to the Lord what is the Lord's. All right, I'm giving my daughter Sarah my car. She's been driving this car all through college. It's an 11-year-old Toyota Camry. She is moving to Mississippi later this year, and she's taking her car with her. Now that she's out of college, it turns out that has insurance implications that I'm still figuring out. Being the parent of adult children sometimes is more complicated than being the parent of small children. That's a different story. Sarah, though, wisely understood, I'd rather you just keep it, and I'll drive it. What? How did she connect those dots so quickly? Because if I put this into her name, Tim Green, and I have to buy insurance, if it's in her name, she has to buy insurance. It's her responsibility. It's her duty. And she was like, why do I want the car? I just want to drive it. And I was like, you're right. Why would you want the car? Why would you not want me just to do everything instead of you do everything? She's completely right. There is a principle here. If I retain ownership, I'm responsible for everything. If you think about that, if you make an asset list of every single thing that we have in our lives, our homes, our cars, our families, our children, our future, our furniture, all of it, if you put it like on a deed, and then you transfer that deed to Jesus, it really does take the pressure off. Everything belongs to him already. Now, we're just acknowledging that which is true. Our pronouns really do matter. Again, I suspect many of us know this, but it is outrageously hard to live this week. I dare you this week to count the pronouns and see how many times you use the word my when it refers to any of these material things that we have on earth. If we can think about them as his, it changes our heart. It really does. All right, the comfort that we have, God owns it all. He never gave it to us. He's the owner. All right, part two. If he's the owner, the next logical thing is he is also the controller. That is, he does with his resources what he wants to do with them. This is the part of the agreement where we are the owner. If I am the owner, I do with things with what I want to do with them. If God is the owner, he does the same thing. By definition, he controls the wealth of the world. Now again, this gets really personal. If you're here this morning, your finances are a mess, or if you have lost something, or you have struggled for years, maybe you want to blame someone else. Maybe you want to blame yourself. And in a fallen world, the fact is there are systems of poverty that have existed since Genesis chapter 3. People are born into poverty and sometimes never get out of it inside of a world where Jesus is king. That is true. There are lawsuits and judgments that have perpetuated crime and injustice. And inside this kingdom, we're called to fight all of those. Yes, this world is broken, and yes, there are things we cannot understand at times that are absolutely not right. So aren't we all glad we are citizens of heaven? The problem with God controlling is we want to compare ourselves to everyone else. Rather, we pray for God's kingdom to come to this earth and his will to be done. Now, again, it's a Sunday school class, and I feel the freedom to speak freely. We are Reformed, we're Calvinist, whatever word you want to use this morning. We have a strong belief in God's providence. He is working out his plan, his salvation for the world, for his glory. We are involved in his work. We are participants in his work. But guys, it's his work. Therefore, we know he causes all things to work toward his glory, even though we don't see what he is doing. He causes things to work toward good, even those things that are hard, even those things that we cannot explain. So what is God doing in our lives today? Every single one of us, if we know Christ and we are not yet in heaven, every one of us, we are being sanctified by Christ. That's what he's doing. He is showing us our sin. He's showing us how other people have sinned against us. He's showing us how we have impacted others. And he's changing us. He is showing us the reality of a broken world. And he is forming his kingdom values in our heart. He's perfecting us. Does it not make sense then that he will use all of the means that he has at his disposal to work out his will? So if money is difficult for you today, I wouldn't be surprised. That sounds right. It sounds like something God might be doing in your life. If money is very easy for you this morning, I wouldn't be surprised. That sounds like something the Lord might be doing in your life. Either way, God is in charge. I think the bigger question is, how do you respond to God's sanctifying work? Can you trust that he is moving in your life to grow you and develop you? Can you trust him? Can you believe that he is changing your character because he loves you as his child? Some of y'all know this about Lisa and me, but we spent 11 years on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, what is now called CRU. We had to raise our own financial support. You all know what I'm talking about when I say raise your own financial support? It's a gloriously awful thing to do. It's hard to do, and you see God answer prayer in crazy ways. Like, I would almost encourage every Christian to do it sometime, just so you could see the Lord at work, and I would simultaneously tell no one to ever do it, because it's hard. It's hard. But the reality is, we got to see for 11 years how God is responsible for things, how he changed us, how he shaped us. Do I want to go back and do that again? Well, only if he calls me to. But if he calls me to, then I can trust him. But in that moment of raising support and trusting the Lord, you really can see him doing things in your life beyond just money, but he might use money in that moment. God controls things. He's at work in our lives. So we don't need to separate our financial life from everything else that he's doing as part of our overall sanctification. God loves us enough that he will use everything at his disposal to prepare us for eternity. Point. Don't think your financial situation is random. It's not. There is no random life here inside a reformed world where we recognize Jesus is the King and Lord over everything. It's not. It's hard. It's mysterious. We don't understand it all. But it's not an option for us to think the Lord is not at work and doing something and moving us in a good way. So don't be jealous. Don't be envious. Don't look down on others. You really are blessed if God is in control. If you're hurting today, God is in control. What if God takes away your retirement account for some reason? What if? If God owns it all, he certainly has the right to. It could be a depression. Could be a mistake. You could have invested all your money with Bernie Madoff once upon a time. Can you trust that God was in control all the time? This is our faith. God is in control and he is doing things. All right, first, God owns it, God's in control, and lastly, we are comforted with the reality God provides. This is one of the dominant attributes of who he is. I won't read it now for time's sake, but you can look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. We see the lilies are clothed by the Lord. We have all that we need, food, clothing. His promise is that he will provide, so the application for us is you can relax. You really can. Now again, next week we'll get into what it looks like to steward money, and we can see how you can really make some mistakes that Scripture speaks to. But overall, if God is in charge, we can relax. We may not get to do everything we would like to do because we cannot afford it. And Jesus is still your Savior. Then we can say on the authority of God's word, God did not want us to have something. God did not want us to do something. When I was raising support with CRU, I remember sitting, this was 1996. We were at Old Farm Apartments, which was right there, whatever it's called now. And I remember praying because we were not finished with support and I had nobody left to talk to. So either the Lord was going to provide or he wasn't. And I remember thinking, God, do you not love those students at the University of Kentucky enough? Because I've got to be there or otherwise they're not going to hear about you. Through that, I began to understand, oh no, the Lord is much bigger than me and what I'm doing and what I care about. The Lord is way bigger. He will provide. He will care. But he has a plan for us that's far bigger than what we can see. But he always provides for us as his children. I suspect this morning we could go around this room and we could hear story after story after story about how the Lord has supernaturally provided something at some time in your life. And you know what? That is normative Christianity. If Rhonda were in here, she's told story, Rhonda Weber, about Assurance for Life and the baby bottle ministry and all that. She said at Assurance, there were times where they were out of money time after time after time, and they would get on their knees and they would pray, and they would see how the Lord would the next day in some capacity show up and provide for them. And I think the question for you, for me, for the finance committee of our church, for our personal lives, could the prosperity in America have a negative impact on our faith? It's possible. We don't have to trust him that much all the time. We really don't at times. So think about it this morning. If the Lord has positioned you in a place of need today, he promises he will provide. And he will provide in his way, according to his plan, and you can trust his providence. If the Lord has positioned you in a place of prosperity today, you may be the solution as part of God's kingdom in the lives of other people. It's all his. He is the one responsible for it all. So this morning, we are to be comforted in our hearts because God is the owner of all things. Our financial stewardship begins with, it's his. He is working out his plan. He will provide for us. We can trust him. All right, I'm going to stop there. If anybody has questions or comments, and then next week, we're going to get into some specifics of this is what we do with his money. All right, questions or comments for this morning?